Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Yes, that's Stardust. Still one of the great romantic pieces of all time, I think. Recorded on this day in 1940 by the great Artie Shaw and his orchestra. And we have a little Stardust in the studio here with Michelle Antoinette, reminding you on our way to this conversation with her that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back at the end. More information, www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union's banner, is right there at the top of the page. We are here in studio with Michelle Antoinette, a.k.a. Love the Poet, spoken word artist and musician, creator of her new piece called God's Country, which will be taking place at the Strand Theater. And I think that, do we have her on the phone yet? No, not yet. And we're also going to be contacting soon Alina Kostakis, who is the managing director of the Strand Theater, which is a women's theater in Baltimore, women's run theater in Baltimore. It's a fascinating place. I want to get her on the air with us. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Great to be here, as always.
410-319-8888 is the number here. You can email your thoughts to us as you listen to us talk at talk@steinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Comment on the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page, 410-319-8888. Maybe you've seen Michelle Antoinette, Love the Poet, and her other iterations on stage with all the other women and solos that she does. So, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
How are you?
I'm great.
All right.
I'm excited.
Because?
Because on this Thursday, the 9th, God's Country opens for a seven-show run.
Seven shows?
Seven shows presented by the Strand Theater. It will be at St. Mark's Church on the corner of St. Paul and North Avenue, 1900. St. Paul. And it's just really an exciting experience because I debuted the piece last year, September 13th.
This is a solo piece, right?
Yes. It's a one-woman play. I play eight different characters. The setting is in a Bible study, so it's very apropos that we have it at the church. And the staging area that we have it in is very much, when you walk in, it's like, oh my goodness, this is exactly where a Bible study would probably happen. But what's really cool about St. Mark's is that they actually have stage and lights and, you know, all of those wonderful things. And so I debuted this piece last year, September 13th, at the Art Space 2640. And that was really cool, too, because that's like a church as well.
Right.
And then I did it in D.C.
Looks like an abandoned church inside of a church.
Yeah. Well, when you put the chairs, Mark, when you put the chairs and you fill the room up and the stage.
Now, it's a good space. I'm not disparaging 2640. Just that.
They're going to get you over there, Red Embers. But, yeah, it just was an amazing thing. And then I took it to D.C. and I took it to York, Pennsylvania. And when I wanted to bring it back to Baltimore, the Strand was open to presenting the piece. And so we're doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on next week.
So the Strand is, I know this is, I said, Owens Theater. Is Rain Pryor still the artistic director?
No.
She's no longer, is she?
No, okay. Yeah. Right now they are, I think they are in between artistic directors. But I think that it's amazing that the theater was willing to pick up the piece. You know, they do women's theater, and this piece highlights not just women. But I am a woman, of course, and I am playing all the characters.
Right.
but it also highlights just people in general. So my characters, I have a young woman who's 16, pregnant, or has a baby, and has HIV. I have a young man who is deemed a quote-unquote thug just by the way he looks and by where he lives and his vocation, and that's not necessarily his story. I have a blind church musician named Mo, who is, I like him. He's fun. He has a story of his own to tell about his life and his lifestyle, and then there is David, who is a, quote-unquote, it's called a down low brother. He is married, but he deals with men as well. And then I have Joey, who is a racist redneck white man in the black church.
A racist redneck white man in a black church.
At the black church, at the black Bible study, who was actually shot because he beat his wife. She shot him.
So
and then there's Michelle, who is a character that is a direct derivative of me and my experience, a black lesbian woman who has tons of issues with the church. That's an extreme of my own life. And then there's Pastor, who is the pastor and facilitating the Bible study, who has her own issues that are revealed.
So how many of the other characters you developed are men?
Three.
Three out of the seven.
Yeah, out of the eight.
Out of the eight, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three.
So I'm curious.
I'm sorry, four. Joey, Sean, David, and Mo. Four.
Okay, so half the characters are men.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about your artistic process. You know, we talk about how writers write books and when they do their work and how they do the work. So what's the process for you to develop these characters? All these characters are kind of blossoming out of your imagination.
Right.
And so other than walking around the street looking like a schizophrenic, talking to yourself in these different characters, how do you...
Because I do. Because
yeah,
I do.
I'm sure you do.
I surely do.
who is she talking to? So talk a bit about how do you develop the characters that you bring to the stage.
Well, one of the blessings about this piece, it kind of came about when I was traveling. I'm a part of a poetry troupe that does sex education theater, and I travel the country doing that. I don't know if I can say the actual name on the air.
Write it down to me, and I'll see if you can say it.
Give me a fit. So it's I went on tour cross country, and and we drove across the country, and I got a chance to see all different types of people, and it was amazing. And I had the greatest time, but I also was able to think about what I wanted to do as far as my one-woman play. And the touring group that I toured with called the Punani Poets, as seen on HBO. And I had an opportunity to see all these people and kind of build off of a small piece that I did with Bashi Rose and Vincent Thomas called Red Flags.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of portrayed the pastor-like person in one of our scenes there, so I got a chance to kind of build on that and think about that. But my process has been really, this is a culmination of my life's work. I've been writing since I was 11, and some of these pieces, I wrote these characters when I was in my 20s or when I was like 18 or 19, and they just kind of evolved when I put my mind to it. And I sat down with my book, Black Marks on White Paper, and I started to go through the pieces. I was like, okay, in the griot section, okay, who have I already created? What have I already done? And so it just kind of grew out of that. And then I wrote dialogue and scenes wherein I was challenged by Buckter Bailey when I was doing it. I was in a part of the Artist U program, and I graduated from that. But when I was doing it,
What was the program?
Artist U.
Uh-huh.
When I was a part of that, Buck challenged me to actually have the characters interact. And I looked at him like he was crazy, but he was like, no, definitely have the characters interact. So there's parts where the characters actually interact. So I started to write this dialogue, and a lot of the monologue is monologue, and then it does infuse poems throughout it. So the characters were built around these poems that I already had.
So you had to move between characters in, like, talking to one another
in
real time.
I do.
So let's play with some of this. You want to play with some of this on the air?
Okay.
We got to be careful which pieces we put out there, though.
Okay. Why is that?
Certain things we can't say on the air.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I'm not. So, I know you can't curse.
Can't curse. The seven deadly words and all that stuff. And your stuff. I'm seeing this for our listeners, especially if they have children around. Your stuff is on the edge sometimes.
Yeah.
In a sexual sense. So if people are uncomfortable with that, they shouldn't have children around listening to it as we do some of these pieces.
Right. I'm probably not going to do anything on the edge of sexual.
Okay.
Today.
Just want to let folks know, because that,
yeah, indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I do.
So what do you want to bring to us? I'll let you choose first.
Okay. Well, this scene is, I'll just give you a little precursor to it.
Please.
It is after Mo and David, and there's also the narrator, Love the Poet, who comes in and presents the person before the person arrives.
And that's your onstage persona anyway.
That's my onstage persona anyway. Right, so it's actually two settings. So one setting is at the Bible study. The other is at Warm Wednesdays, because the Bible study is on a Wednesday.
Okay.
So it goes back and forth from Warm Wednesdays to the Bible study.
Warm Wednesdays.
Yeah, which is the longest running weekly poetry open mic in the country that I co-host.
Okay.
With
Walter
Maxwell Jones Presents.
Right.
So I just kind of use that as another setting. So the narrator is actually giving you a poem before the person shows up.
Gotcha.
It's really cool. You got to see it.
I will.
So this is, so after Mo and David and Love kind of present this idea about sexuality and what's going on with them as gay men or down low or what have
one's, you. One is married but also sees men on the
yes.
side. The other man is openly gay.
Yes. Right. And so this is what happens after that. This is Pastor. Oh my goodness! Oh well, I have a word for this. Everybody, just grab your Bibles. If you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. You there, Michelle? Is it? Do you have a Bible? I see you just standing over there. Why don't you come over here and look here with me? I want to just go to 1 Corinthians because that's what we're studying today. We're studying 1 Corinthians. Get to 6, 9, and 10. Have you gotten there? Oh, we'll get there. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word. It says right here, mercy. It says right here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. Really, Pastor? That, though, that's what we're going to do? Well, yes, Michelle. That I'm just going by what is going on in the Bible study and what I have already planned to go over. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I just have to. It is my responsibility as a pastor to read these things. Is that right, Pastor? And I guess what you have all highlighted, holy and sanctified in this good book of ours ain't got nothing to do with you, huh? See, in God's country, Pastor, hypocritical is whimsical and being judgmental is a quirk, which stops the clergymen from being convicts and their flocks from being jerks, which holds the hand of a rapist even though our own laws state that children can't consent. But because I love a grown woman, I'm the outcast, the sexual deviant. See, I've spent more than my share of life searching for a wife with little more than a wish of good luck, but I've learned in my sojourn most priests are preying on her son, praying for her son, hoping the light she sheds between her legs will come and give him some. In God's country, a democracy run by churches, a bill passed to keep you worthless, a group home jailhouse under the guise of therapeutic purposes, and in God I trust to guide me thus through the murk of this sewage of ancient Egyptian ruins sprinkled throughout our belief system like pixie dust. Amen. Amen. Amen Ra. God's country can't give praise to the sun, Pastor. It burns God's son. God's country can't give praise to the sun. It burns God's son, born ill-equipped and melaninless per old mass's depiction, who arose one day with a predilection to have every Christian praising him. Contrary to chapter 1, verses 12 through 18 in Revelation, and well, my people say I'm picking. Oh, Michelle, stop tripping. Scratch that militant conspiracy itch and go back to stroking senses with that fiction. See, I'm a writer, Pastor. And if erotica be my niche, then why am I such a Jedi with this pseudo-Christian doctrine? Ask the theologians, then dethrone them. Y'all, ask the theologians, then dethrone them. Questions do not get answered if you do not ask them, God's country. But, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we've been led astray. Hey, Mo. Give me a gospel song. A woman in the front pew with no panties on. A pastor with a good view, win a word for y'all. First day, give praise, get your hymnals, y'all. Praise him our way. That bush ain't gone. Just used against us all. Control. Drum beat. Catch the spirit, Lord. Don't think. The bridegroom will take you home. Just keep your lanterns filled with hope that we're in Afghanistan fighting heathens and not protecting poppy fields used for dope. Light it. Get a hit. Spark thoughts through Google Glass, internet inhale, drug wars. We exist in the hell, God's country, the land of the T and home of the NRA. See, we live for these types of parties. But these days, I'd rather just be free and brave. I will not die a slave. I will not die a slave to this new dance craze led by emotion, blind devotion, begging my logic to wane. See, it doesn't make sense. So, Marquisha, you go on and tithe before you pay your rent. Sean, make sure he's a Christian before we elect him president. Mo, don't be openly gay. Live in fear like the rest of them. David, Bible thump your way into a heaven that may or may not exist. And you over there, you be whimsical and quirky. Use your judgments to hurt me. Forget that you were Pharisees and Sadducees with this, the Jesus story. And Pastor, keep on thumbing your nose at parables and cleave to each time-stamped allegory as literally as it can be taken. Forget that this religion was a present from the forsaker to the forsaken. You just don't dare be a Muslim. Atheist, Rasta, Buddhist, queer-centered, yellow-tinted, unwed mother, bastard child, jobless father, porn star stripper, artist, drug dealer, politician, lawyer, liar, sinner. Don't be you. And don't be me. Be afraid of these self-appointed deities. Fear the gods, for this is their country. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Matthew 13:57. Pastor.
So, eight characters, one woman on stage. I can't wait to see this. I mean, you've been working on this a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've done some of this on the air before. Some of these characters have come up before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is gonna be a very powerful night. You have 7 nights to run this piece.
I do. I have 7 nights starting October 9th. So we go 9th, 10th, 11th, then we pick back up 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th.
So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think that, I mean, the kind of power of the creative process here and what you bring to the table, and you're being able to kind of look at life and society and love and power and the church and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
These array of characters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's in some ways, you know, I think it's good for people to see these things because they can, it helps people walk through things themselves, but also helps, I think, the artist not explode by putting it out there on stage, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And the whole idea behind this is it's showing how people search for the God in themselves through the eyes of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And how they try to make sense of the word as it's been applied or how they have received it over the years from birth, you know, or what they've read in church and things like that. And I think that the overarching question is, if this is God's country, then where the hell is God?
So I encourage everybody to see this. This is God's Country, opens this Thursday for 1 week, for a 1 week run, Thursday through Sunday, then Thursday through Sunday. It's a production of the Strand Theater Company, but performed at the St. Mark's Lutheran Church at 1900 St. Paul Place in Baltimore. More information at strand-theater.org. But this, it opens at what time again?
8 p.m. this Thursday.
8 p.m.
And you can get your tickets at strand-theater.org. And I'm sure we have people to take money at the door.
At the door,
well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That as well. Michelle Antoinette, a.k.a. Love the Poet, 8 characters, one woman. God's Country coming up. Do not miss this. Always great to see you, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. And I want you all to stay tuned now for Sound Bites. We're going to talk about urban farming and beekeeping in Baltimore. We're going to meet Dane Nestor, beekeeper at Oak Hill Honey in Baltimore, and pay a visit to the Greener Garden Urban Farm in Northeast Baltimore, not far from here where our studios are right now. An amazing project run by Warren and Levette Blue, growing this incredible food on a granite farm. He's a Vietnam vet. It shows the power of Black world's urban farming right in the midst that nobody knows about. Willie Flowers brought this to our attention from the Park Heights Community Health Alliance. He joins that conversation as well. You don't want to miss this episode of Sound Bites. We're going to break here with Toni Braxton. You mean the world to me. She was born on this day in Boston, in Severn, Maryland in 1968. We'll be right back. Maryland girl. Stay with us.